T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Dr. Aisha Sharzai. She is a neurologist and co-director of the Alzheimer's Prevention Program at Loma Linda University, where she leads the lifestyle program for the prevention of neurological diseases. Thank you very much for joining me today, Dr. Sharzai. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
So I am a neurologist at Loma Linda University Medical Center in Loma Linda, California. I am the co-director of the Brain Health and Alzheimer's Prevention Program. My background is neurology, obviously. I did my residencies, a preventive medicine and neurology, focusing on prevention of neurological diseases at Loma Linda University. And then I went to Columbia University and I did a two-year fellowship in vascular neurology and epidemiology. So my whole entire work and background has been on focusing on how to prevent chronic diseases of the brain, like Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease and stroke and et cetera.
We're going to be talking about Alzheimer's prevention today, so tell us a little bit about Alzheimer's in general.
Sure. So Alzheimer's disease is a degenerative disease of the brain, which basically means that it starts developing usually around at the age of 65 and above. And what happens is a very esoteric bad protein starts depositing in the brain cells, and people start losing their cognition and memories. And currently, it's the most devastating disease in the United States. It's the number 3rd leading cause of disease. Every 65 seconds, someone is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And it's not only robbing us of our memories, but it's a disaster as far as economics are concerned. It's costing us about $259 billion annually. And in 2017, the death associated with Alzheimer's disease has risen by 89%. While all the other chronic diseases of aging are on the decline, Alzheimer's is the only one that is on the rise.
And we really don't have a cure for it after its onset.
That's correct. So far, we haven't been able to find a cure. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer, just dropped their entire Alzheimer's research because they realized that for decades and after billions of dollars spent of chasing a protein or one molecule, they understand that it's a very complex disease and it has to be approached in a very complex way.
Now, genetics play a role in our risk for Alzheimer's, but a much more significant contributing factor is the result of our lifestyle choices, things that we can control. Tell us about that.
That's correct. So, we're all genetic beings. Almost everything is related to our genes. Even if my husband says, even if you get in a car accident, that's probably related to your genes and behavior and so on and so forth. But, those genes don't determine destiny. They actually give us a range of when the disease manifests. And lifestyle is the driving force. It determines whether you get the disease earlier in your 60s or as late as 90s and beyond. So it gives us essentially a range. And about, more than 90% of Alzheimer's disease is related to lifestyle. There's about 5% of cases of Alzheimer's disease that are heavily driven by genes. These are presenilin-1, presenilin-2, and APP. But that's a very small portion of the population. The rest of it is essentially how you live, whether you've had head traumas, whether you've developed high blood pressure or diabetes, and how you're managing it. How has your nutrition been? Exercise, stress management. All of these things actually play a major role.
Now, you say that exercise is a key factor in preventing Alzheimer's. You say get outdoors. Why is outdoor exercising so good for your brain?
Well, exercise in general is phenomenal. Exercising outdoors, especially if it's earlier in the morning, has two factors. One, you're moving. You're actually getting a lot of blood and circulation to your brain. You get a lot of necessary chemicals that build the brain, that actually expand the areas that are responsible for memory. There are these two little areas that are called the hippocampus on each side of our brain, the size of your thumb, and they're responsible for encoding memory, retrieving memory. And when we exercise, there are certain chemicals and hormones that are developed in your bodies, and they go and expand that area. Even after age 60 and beyond, you know, the perception is that after a particular age, the brain doesn't grow. But there's been a lot of research that shows that when we exercise, the cells actually start connecting more with each other, and the size of the brain grows. You see, brain cells can actually have as little as 2 connections or as many as 30,000 connections, and those connections are under our control. And when we exercise, we build those connections. And, you know, working out outside, when you're exposed to the light, your biological clock actually gets reset, so you get to sleep better. And in many ways, it's a form of meditation as well. It depends on where you live. You know, some neighborhoods are better than others, but you know, exercising outdoors serves those two purposes.
You also talk about spring recipes to accompany your morning run or walk and to jumpstart or end your day.
Recipes as in food. Food is one of the most important element in our life, and you know, how can it not be? It's essentially your environment that you live in. It's something that you put in your body 3 or 4 times a day, and it builds the brain. It's the basic blocks of building those necessary parts of your brain. And eating well, especially if it's a whole food plant-based diet, which means, you know, mostly unprocessed, mostly plants, is the best thing you can do for your brain, because it provides the necessary vitamins and micronutrients that builds the brain. And it also gets rid of the harmful byproducts in the brain, the anti-inflammatories in greens or maybe in beans and nuts and seeds and fruits and vegetables. All of those actually reduce inflammation in the brain, which is a very important factor for development of Alzheimer's disease.
You've also developed what you call the NeuroPlan. It's 5 essential factors for reducing your risk for cognitive disorders. Tell us about that.
Sure. So my husband and I, my husband Dean, who's also a neurologist and the co-director of the Brain Health and Alzheimer's Prevention Program at Loma Linda University, we came up with this acronym. We thought it would be really easy for people to remember it, and it's NEURO, N-E-U-R-O. N stands for nutrition, which means eating a whole food plant-based diet. E is for exercise, you know, moving constantly, even if you're not really, you know, strenuously exercising on a regular basis, is very, very important, like we talked about. U is unwind. It stands for stress management. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to disconnect yourself with everything and just, you know, be a hermit, but managing stress. There is such a thing as good stress. It's that challenge that you put yourself in. It actually causes those connections that we were talking about earlier. And then there's bad stress, you know, when things get out of hand, when you don't have any control over it, and it controls you, and it becomes chronic. That actually is very detrimental. It eats away the brain. So unwind is a very important factor. And then R stands for restorative sleep, not just the kind of shut-eye sleep that people, you know, usually think about, but the type that goes through each and every stage of sleep. And sleep is a very important part of our day. It serves 2 purposes. The first purpose is to encode memory, basically put your memories and all the information that you get throughout the day in files and folders and cabinets so that the next day it's easier for you to remember and retrieve those memories from the right place and you feel sharp. The second purpose of sleep is getting rid of toxic byproducts that develop during the day. Basically, there are these janitor cells that come and completely remove those toxic byproducts, and that happens during sleep. And we've seen in some research studies that even 1 night of sleep deprivation can actually increase the amount of those toxic byproducts in the brain, and people tend to have poor memory, and they can't focus, and they have a fog over them. So sleep gets rid of those things. So that's restorative sleep. And then we have O, which stands for optimize. Optimizing mental activity in the context of social activity. And that is one of the most important things for people. Complexity of cognitive activity is very, very important. It has to be something that challenges us on a regular basis. And it has to be something that is related to our purpose, related to our joy. And, you know, it's not a cookie-cutter approach of me telling someone to play Sudoku or crossword puzzles. It has to be something, some activity that the individual really enjoys and has been associated with a purpose. And then social activity, you know, when we're out there in the society, when we're with our loved ones, when we're with people in the community, we're actually forced to use multiple domains of our brain. We use language, we use vision, we use hearing, we use complex judgment centers of our brain. And if those kind of cognitive activities are done in the context of social activities, that's one of the best things to actually create those connections for brain cells.
Great. Now, we've talked about exercise and how important it is. So what type of exercises do we need to do and which are best for our brains?
That's a great question. So most of the time we say, you know, moderate to strenuous activities, about 30 minutes, say 5 to 6 times a week is best. And that can be, you know, riding a stationary bike, being on an elliptical, or if you're playing tennis or something of that nature is usually best. But it doesn't have to be. The beauty of this program is not all or none phenomenon. Either you do it or you don't do it and you don't see any benefit from it. Every small incremental change in lifestyle towards exercising more actually makes a big difference. So it depends on the person. If you enjoy walking around your neighborhood, then maybe incrementally increasing it, say, from, for example, from 10 minutes to about 15 minutes, and then doing that and creating habit and then moving on forward. If I had to pick one exercise that is the best for the brain, it would be leg exercises. Squats are the best. We've actually seen in research studies that people who have strong legs and they have strong muscles have a bigger brain. They did a study a while ago in twin sisters. So they basically had the same genetic patterns. The sisters, the twins that actually exercised and had bigger legs, had a bigger brain compared to the sisters who didn't exercise their legs and did not have bigger legs. So squats or lunges, and those can be just stationary, holding on to a dinner chair and squatting, you know, maybe about 10 to 15 times every day is one of the best exercises that we can do for our brain.
Okay, we've also talked about nutrition and eating well. What type of foods help your brain and which ones are more damaging?
So I would say anything that is that comes from the ground, that is whole foods, that is plants, is very, very good. And these can be any fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, beans, lentils, and other kinds of legumes are the best because they provide the necessary amount of proteins, fibers, carbohydrates that are great for the brain, and it does not cause damage. The types of food that are damaging, the first one that I have to pick is sugar. And I know, and you know, that we're just surrounded and inundated with sugar. Everywhere we look, there's a lot of sugar. Even ketchup has a ton of sugar, whether it's preservatives, et cetera. So cutting out sugar is important, and I know that that's very, very difficult for some people. So, you know, slowly and gradually cutting out sugar from our foods, whether it's in the form of baked goods or candies or other things, is great. One of the easiest things to do would be to cut down on soda or sugary drinks because, you know, you can guzzle down 60 grams of sugar very easily in a cup of juice or whatever. And then the second thing is saturated fats. You know, saturated fats have been associated with plaques in our arteries in the brain, and the cholesterol and saturated fats that come from animal products, whether it's butter or margarine or meats, those can be very, very detrimental. They did a study here in Loma Linda University, which is, you know, one of the blue zones in the world. They have the largest number of centenarians living here. They found out that people who consume saturated fats and meats actually had a 50% higher chance of developing Alzheimer's disease. And those results have been replicated in other populations as well, where saturated fat intake has been associated with increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. So cutting out sugar and saturated fats would be a great place to begin with. And, you know, if we cut down on processed foods or junk food, you can actually get rid of both sugar and saturated fats in one go.
Do the lifestyles between different communities translate to different health issues?
Yes, and it all depends on, you know, the type of lifestyle and the places that they live in. You know, big cities where people actually are behind their desks tend to have higher risk for chronic diseases of aging in general and Alzheimer's disease. When it comes to, you know, the areas between Redlands and Palm Springs, It depends. You know, people who hike and who have a life that is less stressful, that have time to spend with their loved ones, they tend to have less risk for Alzheimer's disease. We work in Loma Linda, and right across us, right across Highway 10, is the San Bernardino County. And, you know, we see all these healthy individuals in Loma Linda, but when you go out into the community in San Bernardino, they're just devastated. And that's basically because of lifestyle and early onset of high blood pressure and diabetes and high cholesterol and the type of foods that they eat. It's just incredible that in a small area, basically sharing their zip codes, you can see such a stark difference. I mean, Loma Linda obviously is, you know, a seven-day Adventist city, and they follow, most of them follow a vegetarian diet, and they take their Sabbath very seriously, and they rest, and they exercise. We have one of the biggest gyms here in Loma Linda. And out there in San Bernardino, that's not the case. So, yes, there are very big differences that we see, and that actually drives this whole concept of the importance of lifestyle in the development of Alzheimer's disease. And to that end, Dean and I have actually created a Healthy Minds initiative where all the proceeds of our book, The Alzheimer's Solution, that we wrote, goes into the Healthy Minds initiative, and we're creating programs, brain health workshops for the communities to raise awareness of how they can actually stop this devastating disease.
Yes, that was going to be my next question, the Healthy Minds Initiative. Go into a little bit more detail about the Healthy Minds Initiative.
Sure. I mean, Healthy Minds Initiative is a 501c3, a not-for-profit organization that Dean and I created. And the idea was to disperse information about Alzheimer's disease and other chronic diseases of the brain, like Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia and stroke, and essentially provide the necessary platform for us to sit down with the community, find out where they are as far as their brain health is concerned, and what are some of the steps that we can take in the community to spread this awareness and actually help people individualize their brain health program. And like I said earlier, all of the proceeds go there. And so far, we've created a Healthy Minds initiative with the beach cities, with Hermosa, Manhattan, and Redondo Beach. And we've created one with Anchorage, Alaska. And we're actually looking forward to creating these programs through the Healthy Minds Initiative in other places as well, hopefully sometime in Palm Springs as well.
Very good. Now, what's the title of your book, and where can we pick up a copy?
The name of the book is The Alzheimer's Solution, and you can pick it up from any bookstore, and it's also available on Amazon.
And in the future, what would you like to see down the road for Alzheimer's prevention?
I would like to, first of all, everybody get on board the concept that it's not one disease. Alzheimer's is actually many diseases together. It's a disease of inflammation and oxidation and glucose metabolism abnormalities and lipid metabolism abnormalities. We have a good understanding that it can be prevented. We believe that 90% of Alzheimer's disease can be prevented if we address lifestyle as early as possible and if we lead healthy lives. And hopefully we're going to get to a point where, technology is moving very fast, where we can detect it very early and hopefully find a treatment in the next 5 to 10 years. But right now, with the devastating numbers that we're facing and the cost of the disease, the only very, very strong armamentarium that we have is its prevention. And that starts at home and in the community and not in the doctor's clinic. So instead of waiting, we should assume that it is a disease that is ongoing, that is devastating, and we should start taking care of ourselves as soon as possible.
Do you have a website where listeners can get more information?
Absolutely. Our website is teamsharesi.com. That's SHERZAI.com. And we are also on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we're at teamsharesi.com.
Okay, and the name of the book again?
The Alzheimer's Solution.
Okay, Dr. Aisha Sharzai, neurologist and co-director of the Alzheimer's Prevention Program at Loma Linda University. Thank you very much for taking some time out today to talk with us. Really appreciate the time.
David, thank you for your time. It's a pleasure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.